Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Up Show, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host, Afrita Love, and today we have a very special guest, Mr. Casey Jordan, but first, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your divine recoveries, Lord. We thank you for just your affirmation, Heavenly Father, that we are doing the right things, Heavenly Father. We're asking you would you bless each guest who come on this show, Lord. We're asking you would you continue to strengthen us where we're weak and build us up where we're torn down, Heavenly Father. We're asking you would you just continue to bless this ministry and bless us to edify and uplift individuals, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay. The scripture for today comes from Luke 2 and 49, and it reads, "And he said to them," we're talking about Jesus now, "why did you seek me?" He's talking to his parents. "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" I have read Luke 2 and 49. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and seekers of his holy word. And now I would like to introduce my guest. My guest is a husband, a father, and a holy hip-hop gospel artist. I would like to introduce to some and welcome to present to others Mr. Casey Jordan. Mr. Jordan, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for joining.
Thank you for having
me. Sure. Okay, I have a couple of questions to ask you concerning your ministry and gospel. And my first question is, at what age did you start rapping, and who were some of your greatest influences then and now?
Well, I guess you could say God had me as a late bloomer, because I didn't start until about a year ago, which I was 32 at the time. I really didn't have any influences then, but like now, I listen to Divine Purpose, King David, Kid Fab, Timothy Gabriel, Spiritual Soldier, Jareer Early, which he has a song called Crossover that I can't get out of my head. But those are some of the people that I listen to and enjoy right now.
Okay, great. All right, now, you're one of the faces of Christian hip-hop right now. Do you feel any pressure or heat by rapping the Word of God?
I would say the only thing that I would feel as far as pressure is, I guess, the fact of to stay humble and not to change your personality or what God has done for you to gain any kind of special attention or any kind of things that will have you out of the will of God. I think that sometimes like it's just so much pressure on you to do things the right way, and sometimes it seems like when you do things the right way, it seems like you're not getting noticed or people are not really understanding your music. So I say I would just try to stay on track and on focus to just stay in His will, and everything will be okay.
That's right, exactly. Okay, now you indicated that you did not like gospel rap at first when you were younger. So when God turned your dislike into your ministry, how did that change your perspective of gospel rap?
Well, I guess I'll do a little drop back on that one. When the little bit of gospel rap that I did hear, it was, to me, it just sounded like a lot of people that were still rapping worldly, and they would just throw God's name in their music here and there just to say that they said God in it. But I remember I was in my psychology class, and my teacher said, she said, "I'm going to play these songs, and I want you guys to tell me how you feel about these songs when you hear them." So I'm like, okay. And the first song she played was a song by Lil Wayne. And I was like, oh, I got to sit here and listen to this guy. And it's like every word that he said, it was like God was giving me an inspirational word on top of it. And since then, I've just been. Anytime he would drop something in my spirit, I would hurry up and write it down. And he hasn't changed my perspective per se, but he has changed my idea of how gospel rap can be. You don't have to rap about how God blessed you with this kind of car and this kind of house and that, and all these
right.
material things. You can just strictly rap about how he has blessed you, how he has saved you, how he has kept you alive when you should have been dead.
That's right. Wow, that's powerful. Now, let me ask you this. When you were, when you was giving your response, something came to mind. Have you ever thought about a book or like writing a book or writing like a repertoire of all of your lyrics?
Actually, I've been prophesied that I was supposed to write a book, and I had like a list of like just like one sentence words or like just one thought that I would just like write down, and I was thinking like that may sound like it might be something for a book. So I have had that idea in my head that has been spoken to me.
Right. Well, you just keep praying about it. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Now, you indicated that you did not like gospel rap. Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. Now, so when you write, what is your message and purpose for the people?
My message is plain and simple. It's just giving God all the glory and just giving him all the praise. I really don't write much or at all about how God has given me this kind of thing and that kind of thing, which is not bad, but I don't want to make the message that God is only good because he's blessing me with these material things. I want to just let people know that when he gives me something, that's what I write. So if he gives me something that's about cleaning up the church, then that's what I'm going to write about. If he gives me something about having his favor over money, then that's what I'm going to write about. So if he, blesses me with a five bedroom, three bathroom house and tell me to write about it, then that's what I'm going to do. But my purpose is just to get souls to know that Jesus is not that God and Jesus are not genies, that they can give us material things, but they want our soul to prosper before we prosper in the natural.
Right. And your ministry, and I keep going back to this gospel rap intentionally, but how has your ministry of gospel rap impacted your life and your family's life? And I really want to extend this to the youth within your community as well.
Okay. Wow, it's been amazing. I've met so many people that have been so inspirational to my life. Like the artists that I named earlier, they have been real just inspiration to me. I even had a couple of artists that were from my hometown in Mobile, which I'm in Georgia right now, that drove all the way up here to perform with me at an event that we had at my church. And I was just really thankful that, and we were able to minister to one another. And we still, it's not like how some people, they will invite you to something and then you never hear from them again until they need you for something again. But we still keep in contact with one another and talk to one another. Even my children, they even sing the songs that I have written, and they even know some of the songs by heart. So that is really truly blessed me right there.
That's good. That's real good. Now let's take a turn here. Why do you feel that it's so hard for some people to embrace the gospel hip hop music? And it simply gives the same message, but it's just you're rapping instead of singing. You know, so why do you think it's so hard for some people?
I would say tradition has a lot to do with it. A lot of people are used to just sitting in the pews, clapping their hands and saying amen, and then going home and things like that. So a lot of people, they don't understand how you can be so excited for God and you're not singing. A lot of people just think that the anointing can only flow through singing. But like you said, we're doing the exact same thing that they're doing. It's just like a sped up song. To me, that's what it is. And I think it's just people have a hard time grasping that because they've been taught for so long, this is the only way you can praise God. This is the only way that you can worship the Spirit in. But God gives us other avenues to praise him. Even when David won the war, he danced about his clothes, and his wife was like, what are you doing? She thought he looked crazy, but he was doing it from his heart. So as long as you do it from your heart and it's acceptable in God's eyes, then it shouldn't matter how you praise him.
That's right. That's right. Now, what is the art of holy hip-hop? And what I mean by that, when you get on stage before thousands of people or hundreds of people, what is the art of holy hip-hop? How do you connect with your audience?
Well, normally before I perform or start a song, God will always give me like a little nugget of a word to say. Like even before I would start a song, he'll tell me, well, speak this to the people. And I'll say this to the people, even when I'm ending the song, he will give me something to say. So I would say that the art of it is to engage your audience, engage the people, because I was a hands-on person when I was at school, so I like to involve people in things where they won't feel like, okay, well, it's just all about the person who performing. He's not even, or she's not even engaging with the crowd. So I like to have things where the audience can feel like they're in it, where they can really be touched by the music, where they're not just hearing the music, but they're also feeling it as well.
That's right. Okay. Now, tell me a little bit about your CD of music that you share with others concerning your art of holy hip-hop.
Okay. Well, I'm actually in the process of doing a blessed disc where I'm going to be doing just songs that's going to be over different kinds of beats with just a bunch of different topics concerning God and, concerning God and his kingdom, and it's just going to be some powerful music. It's going to be music about deliverance, about blessings, about being saved, just a whole bunch of areas of God's business.
Well, good. Okay. All right. What advice would you give a new and upcoming holy hip-hop artist?
Don't give up and don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to people who say that it's not right for you to do what you're doing or anything like that. Do not be discouraged or whatever you're going through, because you're going to come against opposition, because like we were discussing earlier, there's some people who are really in the traditional phase. So you may have some events where you may not get invited to. Like it was a couple of events where there's like, we're looking for a gospel for gospel acts to perform at our gala or our thing that we're having. And I always ask, I'm like, okay, well, do you guys accept gospel? I call it gospel praise, and I always put AKA gospel rap, and then I never hear nothing back from him. That's happened to me like two or three times. It was even one time when a guy said, yeah, we do like gospel rap, stuff like that. And I like emailed him back like two or three times just to make sure, because there's a lot of people who will say that, yeah, we want any kind of praise, and when you tell them that you do that, they'll turn you down. So it's easy to get discouraged when people are turning you down and you're truly doing it from your heart for God. So I can understand how some people get discouraged, but my word to them would be to not get discouraged. Whenever you feel like you're getting discouraged, go in your prayer closet, read the word, just get somewhere where you can just reinforce that positive thought, thinking that God has already given you.
That's right. And let me ask you this. We're making another left turn here. Let me ask you, as you were speaking once again, do you believe that what I heard you say was that sometimes different venues say, okay, we're opening it up, we want different gospel acts. And so what I'm hearing you say is sometimes that we discriminate against the holy hip-hop world, but this holy hip-hop world is bringing or saving, especially the younger generation, because they can relate to that. Do you believe that maybe this is one of the reasons why we're losing a lot of youth, because they can't come into a church and identify with some of the messages that are being, put forth, whether it's through music ministry or the word, because we have alienated the holy hip-hop culture, some churches or some venues? Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. I do believe that, because Jesus said he will make us fishers of men, And some churches, they only use one type of bait. And
right.
I just can say that most people, when they want you to be in the church, well, most churches, when they want the youth to be in the church, they want them to be an usher. They just want them to say, they just want them to say the scripture on youth day, but still have an adult preacher bring the word. And then a lot of people are feeling left. A lot of youth are feeling left out because they can't really grasp what someone who has been in the ministry for 40 or 50 years, they really can't grasp what they're talking about when they're
right.
16, 17, 18 years old. So it's good to have somebody who can say, hey, I used to go to the club, but God changed my heart. I used to be this kind of person, but God changed my heart. And in some of the people's music that I hear, they're giving their testimony about how they was this type of person in their youth, and while they're still in their youth, God was able to change their heart once they really got serious about it. And so many people are, well, not so many people, but some people are just so gung-ho on it has to be this way, it has to be this way, it has to be this way, to where the church is rejecting them, but the streets are accepting them. And then we get upset and angry when we see our youth killing each other, selling drugs, misusing women and things like that, because the streets are saying, what if the church won't bring you in? We'll bring you in and show you how we show love, because they have the wrong concept and idea of what being loved or being in a group who cares about them. They look at it as, well, these guys are accepting me when the church wouldn't, and we're steady pushing people out instead of bringing people in, because we are putting God in this box, and he's not trying mm-hmm. to let us put him in a box.
That's right. That's right. And still on this question again, when you say fishermen, God will make us fishermen, that is true. And if you look at it with fish does not grab onto the bait altogether. You might have to swing your net to the left, to the right, in the middle. So therefore, in order to make it conducive to the church, we have to use various ways to bring souls to Christ.
True.
In
that,
one
that
way.
Is, go
ahead.
I'm sorry. That is very true. Now, I don't. there are some churches that I see that they're trying a little bit too hard to grab a youth in, and it's like they're putting more world in the church instead of church mm-hmm. in the world. And now I don't. Now I can see how some people get upset about that, because I've seen that quite often. But there are some churches, there are some leaders who are allowing to youth to express themselves, but express themselves in a godly way. Like if you was always at the club dancing and doing all this kind of craziness, okay, come on in. We have a praise team. You can still dance. You know, if you was a hardcore gangster rapper and doing all this kind of, having all these kind of bad lyrics and things like this, come on in. We have a gospel praise, a gospel rap ministry. Let me get with you, and we sit down and put our deals together. It's not that I'm saying that I'm better than you, but let me try to influence you the godly way, because I was there where you were at. I know how it is to feel like you got to be this kind of person because nobody won't accept you. So let me show you how we can do it in a godly and spiritual way that can draw more people in. And I have seen that happen.
That's right. That's good. That's good. Now, how can individuals connect you concerning your ministry, whether it's booking or just want to hear some of your music?
They can contact me at my email, which is kaseydub@gmail.com. That is kaseydub, U as in unicorn, b as in bravo@gmail.com. I'm also having a website that I'm working on right now, and my business, which is FWF, which is Faith Without Fear, where I also have my business, which I do Christian-themed T-shirts. Which I have three designs that I currently have right now, and I'm working on the fourth one. So if you would like to check out my my shirt designs that I have, I can also have them on my email as well. So that is how you contact me.
Okay, great. Now, let me ask you one more question before I let you leave here. Are you into the youth ministry, too? Are you like a youth minister, pastor?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, okay. Yeah, well, I just want to continue to pray for you and, you know, keep praying to God with your gifts because they're very impactful and beneficial, especially to our youth and to everybody. I mean, it was such an inspiration speaking to you on this broadcast, and I appreciate your time. I know you have to get back to your business, but I sure do appreciate your time, and please stay in touch with me on Facebook and let me know what's going on in your ministry.
Okay, I surely will, and I just want to say one last thing. I just want to, a lot of times when we're doing these things, we're just looking at the artist, the minister, the pastor, and thing. But I would just, in Romans 13:7, it says, get honor where honor is due. So I just want to just honor you right now for allowing me to even interview with you. We really don't know each other except for on Facebook. So for you to just have trust and faith to know that I wasn't going to be some kind of crazy lunatic saying all kind of stuff. I just thank you for that, and I just hope that God just blesses you with unmeasurable favor on your ministry, on your show, and everything that you touch. I just hope that he just blesses it 100-fold. So I just thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you so much, Minister Jordan. I appreciate your time.
All right, thank you.
All righty.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Minister K.C. Jordan. And on today, I have a few announcements. And the first announcement is please continue to uplift your family and friends by asking them to tap into the blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. The Fashion Line, the Fashion Line, the Fashion Line is here. Fashionsbylove.com is here. Be sure to tell your family and friends about their website. All right. Gospel artists, poets, writers, publishers, promoters, and community leaders, please Facebook me at Alfreda Love. That's AlfredaLove. Or you can inbox me, Alfreda Love, AlfredaLove, or Fredalove. Or you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I am still receiving different promoters' information, and I thank you for that. Be sure to check out the Stellar Awards and to check out upcoming gospel events and support those gospel artists with your attendance. Also, I would like to give a little bit of a measurable information about the spiritual guide that God has given me to work on, Perfecting Your Walk. And in this guide, I want to share with you what God gave me. And it's a question, and I'm not going to get into depth with this question because we will be here forever. But I do want you to think about this this week. I will be back on tomorrow. I will have a minister on, or I will be ministering tomorrow or teaching tomorrow, God's will. But I want you to really think about this question. And when you're thinking about this question, I want you to take out your emotions. I want you to take out your pride. I want you to take out your egos. And I want you to really think about this question. And this is what God gave me. If you were 100% sure you were going to lose in whatever situation it is, it could be in a game, it could be in life, it could be in family issues. If you were 100% sure you were going to lose, what percent of faith obtained in the situation? I'm going to read it again. If you were 100% sure you were going to lose, what percent of faith would you maintain in the situation? I do want to fill you on something that God gave me to provide encouragement to the people of God and those who are seeking God and those who are far away from God. If you lose everything that you have, if you lose everything that you have, hold on to God. God is the key to faith. When you begin to establish a relationship with God, and you begin to walk with God in the Word of God, then you begin to have faith. Your faith becomes bigger than the mustard seed that Jesus is talking about in the Bible. The minimum requirement, amen, is for the mustard seed, is to be a mustard seed, but God expects our faith to be way bigger than that. There is no situation on earth, and I serve notice to you today, whoever you are, there is no situation on earth that is bigger than God. I don't care how far in the water you feel like you are, if you feel like you're drowning, if you are drowning at this point. There is no situation on earth that is bigger than God or bigger than something that he can handle. So therefore, when you're thinking about this question, I want you to be very honest, because I'm going to give you an analysis of, and this is, I'm going to be very honest with you, God gave me this. I would never be able to come up with this. God has given me this wisdom, and I want to share it with you. And so once again, I'm going to read this question because I want you to really think about it, because it's easy just to write down this question and say, oh, yeah, I know the answer. This is a thinking question. If you were 100% sure you were going to lose, what percentage of faith would you maintain or would you take in that situation? And God, and for my young people, if you were playing a game, if you were on a team, a basketball team, soccer team, football team, volleyball team, and you knew that you were going to lose, first of all, would you show up? Second of all, would you show up with faith? If you are taking a test, young people, and you know that you're not going to pass, what percentage of faith will you still take in that room, or will you even show up to take it? God is asking us, as I have 4 minutes, and I can't hold back what God is saying. God is asking us, do we really have faith? It's easy for people to come on air. It's easy for people to preach the word of faith. But when it comes time to create or lay that foundation of faith, we have a wavering faith. If we can't see it, then we don't have faith in it. But God gives us the idea of discernment, and discernment allows us to still have faith in God, although we don't see the end of the tunnel. So once again, and this is my last time reading this question, and I'm going to get off air, because I only have 3 minutes and we're going to run out of time. If you were 100% sure you were going to lose, what percent or percentage of faith would you take with you or would you maintain in the situation? Whatever situation it is in life, fill in your name where the you is. If you, Afrida Love, were 100% sure, okay, fill in your name. Make it very personable. I don't want to know what your neighbor what percentage they would take. I don't want to know the percentage of your children. I want to know what percentage would you take. What percentage, okay? So think about that question, and then I'm going to give you an analysis of what God gave me. This is part of my spiritual guide, Perfecting Your Walk project that God has given me. And it's really helping me as well, because I'm also learning and I'm also taking notes and I'm also listening to the word of God and I'm also studying the word. So this question right here is mind-boggling, but I know that you will be able to solve it, because at some point, whether you're atheist, whether you're a believer, whether you're a prophet, whether you're a minister, you have had an encounter with God. At some point, God has rescued you. Whether you believe in God or not, God has rescued you from something. So therefore, everyone, this question is open to everyone, children alike, okay, because it affects everybody. It's not just, well, okay, this is for the 30-year-olds, the people in my age group. No, no, no. It's for every age group. We have to begin to evaluate our Christian walk, our spiritual walk with God, in order to be able to measure and see if we are really following God and what he's asking us to do. And this is also a checklist to see if we are really walking in our destiny or if we're walking away from it. So I really want you to think about that question. And I will come back with a response from the revelation, true response. And I will also be able to prove it to you in the word of God. So until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Be sure to tell your family and friends about the blogtalkradio.com/freetolove, where you get the word, you get interviews, you get health information. It's just a plethora of information that you receive when you tap on to this Blog Talk Radio. So please be sure to do that. And once again, if someone asks you what that big smile is all about, you tell them that love lifted you up, because God is love. Until tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. Have a good evening, everybody. Bye-bye.